Bible passages this evening. I thought it was only kind to put them all on a bit of paper to save your fingers and to save us a bit of time as we go through. So make sure you've got that handout. We've actually got one more very short reading before we dive in. Mark chapter 1. So you might want to turn in the Bibles to page 1002. 1002. Mark chapter 1. And I'll pray, and then I'll read verses 9 to 11 about Jesus' baptism. Let's pray though, first of all. Heavenly Father, we do long to know the Lord Jesus better. However much we feel we know him, however much we do know him, we know there's so much more to know. His glory is unfathomable. And we desperately need your help to begin to know him better. And so we pray that as we've just sung, you would work in us now by your Spirit and help us to see him, to meet him in your word that is all about him. And we ask in Jesus' name for his glory, for our good. Amen. Mark 1 verse 9. At that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." I wonder how you feel about the thought of taking the best part of a term here in the evenings and in our small groups too. Very simply, just to focus in on the Lord Jesus, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, who he is and what he does. I wonder how you're feeling. Maybe it's a bit sort of so-so, really. No, you should be excited. But there's a bit of a sense of, don't we know him already? Isn't there a danger? This is all going to be a bit basic. You might be thinking, well, how does God the Father feel when he thinks about his Son and looks at his Son? Just look at those verses again. Verse 10, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. Oh, it's you. Great. Very good. Carry on. Not at all. Doesn't matter where you dive into the Bible, its consistent testimony all the way through is that knowing Jesus really is the most delightful thing of all. So if you're here last week, when you looked at Psalm 45, do you remember Psalm 45, that wedding psalm, that great description of the bridegroom, just sort of bursting with wonder at how glorious this figure is? Who is he? It's the Lord Jesus we saw. A sketch of the Lord Jesus ahead of time. Well, do you remember Paul's famous words in Philippians 3? But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. Actually, he uses a much ruder word than that. That I may gain Christ and be found in him. So you can picture an old-fashioned set of scales in Paul's mind, can't you? And on one side are all the good things any of us could ever think of. So health and safety and a loving family and education and great friends and a satisfying job and a nice home and a good marriage and children and good holidays and so on. And on the other side of the scales, you've just got the Lord Jesus. And there is no contest, says Paul. Whatever you have to give up to have Jesus, it is worth it. He far outweighs them all. So we've heard from the psalmist, we've heard from Paul, but now hear the voice of God the Father himself. We got a glimpse. I wonder whether you noticed in John 17, that reading Tom gave us, Jesus' great prayer the night before he dies. We got a glimpse towards the end of that, of the Father's delight in his Son all through eternity past. Father, Jesus prayed, John 17, verse 24, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. So think of a parent so obviously just bursting with love for their child. Maybe you pop round to visit them just after they get back from hospital, just after the birth or something, and you look at them and they are just transfixed by little him or her. They can't take their eyes off little him or her. It's a lovely sight, isn't it? Well, that's a bit like what Jesus gives us a glimpse of here in his prayer. All eternity, God the Father, just transfixed by his Son, enthralled with his Son. And then, as we'll think about in these coming weeks, down into our sinful, broken world, he comes. He comes right in. He becomes a human being. And at his baptism, identifies himself with sinful human beings like you and like me. And as we just read, as there he is, he's coming up out of the water and the heavens are torn open and the Holy Spirit comes down on him like a dove to strengthen him for the ministry that he's about to do. Can you hear the pride and the love in the voice of his Father that comes from heaven in that moment? You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. So those parents we thought of just now, doting on their precious child, run it on a few more years. And now picture the looks on their faces, the even greater pride, the utter admiration as they watch their dearly loved child just getting on with and making a really good job of something really hard they have to go through. Maybe an illness that afflicts the child, or some bullying they go through at school, and the child is hard, but they handle it brilliantly. Maybe it's an awful set of exams. Whatever it might be, a responsibility that's thrust on them, and the child just handles it well. Can you picture the admiration and the pride in the parents' faces as they watch? So like God the Father, as he watches his Son, the Lord Jesus, so perfectly getting on with the task that he came to do. You see, if God the Father is delighted by his Son, we should be too, shouldn't we? If the Son is enough for God the Father, for all eternity, then actually, even if we're feeling a little bit cold now, with God's help, with the Holy Spirit helping us see, we should expect to begin to find Jesus more delightful too. As in his love, God the Father gives sinful people like you and me the privilege of getting to know and delight in his precious Son too, which at its most basic is what being a Christian is all about. You see, what does it mean to be a Christian? I wonder how you'd answer that question. Maybe some point this week someone asks you that, someone at home or a neighbour, someone at work or at school perhaps. They know you come to church, so they ask you, what is it all about, this Christian thing? I wonder what you'd say. Is it about obeying some rules, or doing a few religious things from time to time, or making an increasingly unusual lifestyle choice? Those answers don't sound quite right, do they? I hope there's alarm bells going off, if that's all we'd want to say. Well, what about saying something like this? Being a Christian is about knowing our sins are forgiven. Being right with God, looking forward to life with him in heaven. That sounds better, doesn't it? But do you notice how Jesus defines it? Near the beginning of his prayer in John 17, verse 3, what does Jesus say the Christian life is all about? Now this is eternal life, he says, the life he's come to give. So what is it? This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. He says that's what it means to be a Christian. Knowing God the Father, the only true God, and knowing Jesus, the one the Father has sent. And not knowing him in the sense of knowing some stuff about him, like our teachers here presumably know their subject areas fairly well. So maybe you say you know maths, or you know history, or you know science, or whatever it might be. This is talking about knowing personally. That's the meaning of the word here. So like most of us would say, we don't know the Queen, but we do know a very good friend. Being a Christian is about knowing Jesus. Eternal life, do you notice from that verse, verse 3? It is not something we get because we know Jesus. As if really the only good reason for knowing Jesus is that's the way to get hold of this other thing that you can only get hold of if you know Jesus. Jesus says eternal life is knowing him. There may be all kinds of other good things that come our way because we do know him, but by far the greatest privilege of all, the best thing of all, the thing that's most central to it all, he says, the thing without which none of those other things are worth a thing, is knowing him. Jesus is not just the doorway to the best things we could ever hope to have. He is the best thing we could ever hope to have, which begs a couple of questions, doesn't it? If we say we're Christians, how often do we think of him? You know, actually find our minds just turn to him, either because we've made an effort to think of him or because it just naturally happens. Imagine a married couple again. If marriage at its most basic level is about a relationship with another person, about knowing another person, it would be an odd thing, wouldn't it, if one or both of those people in that marriage never spent any time at all thinking about the other person. You'd worry if that was the case. That would be a worrying sign. It'd be a brilliant thing, though, wouldn't it, if their mind did from time to time just go to the other person. They're great, they think to themselves privately. Well, what about you and Jesus? What about me and him? How often, either naturally or deliberately, do we think of him? Second question, this one is convicting too. How often do we think about being a Christian as if actually the best thing about it is not Jesus, but something we get through him? So back to our married couple a moment. Are you enjoying marriage, you ask them, maybe a few months after their wedding day or something. And again, you'd be worried, wouldn't you, if all the person you spoke to talked about was some of the byproducts of being married to that other person. As if, you know, the main reason for getting married was getting access to her money or his car or her flat or his cooking or whatever it might be. What's the best thing about being a Christian? Is it knowing our sins are forgiven? Knowing God is looking after us? Being able to look forward to life with him in heaven forever? I mean, don't get me wrong, they're all great things, aren't they? We should be grateful for them all. But why are they great things? Why is it great to have our sins forgiven? Well, not just because we know they're off our record and we're not worrying about judgment to come, but because that means we can get close to Jesus. Why is it good to know that God is looking after me? Lots of so-called gods people talk about, I wouldn't want looking after me at all. They're terrifying. The reason this is good is because it's the same for a Christian as saying, Jesus is looking after me. Best thing in the world to have someone like him taking care of me and everything. Why will heaven be great? Again, I don't know about you, but there are lots of ideas people have about what heaven will be like that leave me cold, especially compared to life here. Not excited about them at all. How do we know being there will be great? Why is that a comfort when we think of those we've loved who are already there? Or think about going there ourselves one day? It's because Jesus is there. It's about going to be with him. So Jesus says, eternal life is knowing him. And we, let's be honest, we so seldom are as excited about that as we know we should be. We're so quick to get more excited about other things instead. What's the solution? It's getting to know him better, isn't it? You've got a great friend, perhaps. Someone you know, it's not just in your mind, you know they're just a fantastic person. And you get to introduce them to somebody else for the first time. And you're so excited about the prospect of this other person being excited about your great friend too. And you speak to them a little bit later after they've met. What did you think of them? They say, yeah, they're okay, they answer. Not really excited at all. What's the solution? What do you do? How do you get them more excited about your brilliant friend? You help them to get to know them better, don't you? You fix up for them to spend more time together. You go out for a drink all together. You get them both round for supper or something like that. Well, it's a bit like that for us and Jesus too. What is the Christian life all about? It's about knowing him, and it is about always getting to know him better too. Knowing Jesus, and our third point this evening, I hope you've kept up with the headings on the handout. It's about growing in our knowledge of him. We spent last term looking at Peter's first letter in our morning sermons and our small groups. Now listen to Peter's parting shot in his second letter, 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. Again, they're on the handout. Therefore, dear friends, he says, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You get that? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. You see, what is a healthy Christian life meant to involve? Not just knowing Jesus, but growing in our knowledge of him. I wonder whether we realise that, whether that is our aim, if we're trusting him. There's such a danger, isn't there, that we think of being a Christian as if it's just a binary thing. You know what I mean? Think of light switches. I know I've used this illustration before, but I still can't think of a better one, so I'm going to use it again. So think of a standard light switch, like the ones we've got on the walls around the church. Here. There's just two settings to them, aren't there? Off and on. Either it's off or it's on, and that's all there is to say about it. And it's very easy for us to think being a Christian is just like that. You know, either we aren't, or we are. Either we don't know Jesus or we do, and that's all there is to say. And so if we do, if we are a Christian, all we're called to do is just carry on as we are now until one day we get to heaven. Very easy to think that's all there is to being a Christian. But now think of a dimmer switch. So it's still got two settings, hasn't it? There's an off and an on. As you turn it around, it clicks from the off to the on. But what do you do once you've turned it on? You don't leave it deliberately on the dimmest setting of all, unless you've got some particularly good reason for wanting to do that. You turn it up and you make it brighter, don't you? And doesn't this verse from 2 Peter here say it's meant to be much more like that with us and Jesus? So we've still got two main settings. We've got not knowing Jesus and we've got knowing him. But once we do know him, we're not meant to just stay there with that basic knowledge, but we're meant to get to know him better and grow in our knowledge of him through our lives. After all, with him, as we will hopefully see, there is never a good reason not to want to get to know him more. In fact, one of the marks that we do know him genuinely is we will want to get to know him more. And with Jesus, we'll see, there's always more to know. He's so glorious. People sometimes say, don't they, that one of the marks of growing up in life generally, one of the marks of becoming a more mature person is realising how much stuff there is out there that actually we just don't know at all. It's a mark of maturity, isn't it? I mean, put it more bluntly, the person who thinks they know everything is a complete idiot. Well, it's a bit like that with Jesus. One of my prayers as we start this series now is not just that we'll begin to get to know him better, but that as part of that, we'll start to realise just how much more about him there is for us to get to know that we don't yet know. Just how he's so much more glorious than we've ever dreamed. So the Christian life, it is about knowing Jesus. The healthy Christian life is about growing to know him better. Not just one day in heaven, but it starts now, those verses say. And then one final encouragement as we finish, although maybe there's a bit of a warning in this too. None of us should expect to come away from looking at him unchanged. Because last heading, knowing Jesus is a deeply transforming thing too. Hear Paul again, 2 Corinthians 3. And we who with unveiled faces all contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You see, what happens when Christians see Jesus? They become more like him. How do Christians change and become more like Jesus? By looking at him. in this life now. That's what Paul is talking about here. And of course, supremely, when one day we'll see him face to face. That's what John is talking about in 1 John 3, again, verses on the handout. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Made perfect like him then, when we see him then. But as Paul reminds us, 2 Corinthians 3, that process begins now. I don't know, maybe you're a bit worried deep down that these next few weeks, that just might not be very practical, the sermons here. It might not have a huge impact on the way we actually live. We might fill our heads with more stuff, but it might not change how we live. There might be some weeks where we go away from church and we haven't got a neat little list of, I need to get on with this, this and this this week. Well, do you see what these verses are saying? Even if some weeks all we leave with is a slightly deeper appreciation of how glorious the Lord Jesus is. Maybe loving or wondering at him a little bit more. I think we can expect to find that changing us in all kinds of ways. Do you want to stay Christian in a world where there are so many forces trying to pull us away? We see people we know well packing in their faith, perhaps. We feel the pressure to pack it in ourselves. How do we keep going? Get to know Jesus. See how much more glorious he is than anything we might be offered or forced to lose if we in return. Do we want to be able to cope in the face of all kinds of trials and disappointments? Perhaps we're conscious of watching other people just falling apart as life gets hard. We feel ourselves beginning to fall apart as we go through difficult things. How do we cope? Get to know Jesus, the one who, no matter how hard things become, says he'll never let us go or let us down. Want to know peace one day, whenever the day comes, even in the face of death itself? John Owen was one of the greatest English theologians there's ever been, around in the 17th century. I'm reading a book of his at the moment called The Glory of Christ, and he begins by talking about why it is worth looking at Jesus and getting to know him better. And John Owen doesn't mess around. He says there are two reasons. One is to cope in trials, and the other is to be able to cope in the face of death. You think that's quite hardcore. You don't talk about death much these days, do we? But it was such a reality for him. He had 11 children, all of whom died in infancy. Death was an ever-present reality back in those days for people. And one day it will be for us too. How can we have peace in the face of death when the time comes to leave everything we know and head off into, let's be honest, something, there's loads we don't know about, isn't there, for the future? Get to know Jesus, the one into whose hands we'll be entrusting ourselves then. That's what John Owen says. The one who will be receiving us on the other side. Do you want to be the best possible person you could ever be? Most like who you've been made to be? Get to know Jesus. Spend time looking at the most perfect person of all. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Again, we are sorry that we can be so blind to that, and yet we know you marvel at your Son. You're enthralled by him, transfixed by his glory, just so full of love for him. Thank you that your reaction to him reminds us that knowing him really is the most delightful thing of all. And please would we taste more of that this term. We thank you that at its most basic, being a Christian is about knowing him. That Jesus is not just the doorway to some other good things. He is the best thing of all. And we pray, please, that we would become more sure of that this term as well. Do grow us, please, in our knowledge of him. Forgive us for all the times we think we kind of know him well enough. We can tick the Jesus box in our understanding. Humble us, please, before his glory. Help us to know him more and to know more of just how much more there is one day to know. And we pray that as we gaze on him in the ways that you talk about, we would be transformed. We pray that we would find ourselves not retreating from our faith, but growing in our faith, standing up for you, knowing more peace in the face of all kinds of trials and troubles, peace in the face one day of death itself, and just growing to be more the people you want us to be as we look at your perfect and glorious Son. And we pray all these things in his name. Amen.